Hi guys, and welcome to today's podcast, where I'm joined by Jenny Abobaya. that really took a bit.
That was hard.
Or you can call her the SEO version of Cheryl Cole from the northeast of England. Where exactly in the northeast are you from, Jenny?
Newcastle. I'm from Newcastle. I am.
And you can tell, I don't even know why I asked that. You can tell it's just like Gaza. Gaza was a hero of mine growing up. It's just that Gaza type accent. I do apologize to anyone who is listening to this podcast. You're going to have a bit of trouble today with a Glaswegian and someone from Newcastle talking about things. But yeah, Jenny. Or Cheryl, or whatever you want to call her, is not in Newcastle anymore. She is in Egypt, which is always great. But Jenny, for people who don't know you, haven't heard of you or whatever, give us a bit of insight into your background and then we'll go into what you do now. So how did you get to Egypt? What's your background? How long have you been in this industry for?
Yeah, well, I actually used to be a professional dancer. I started out as a dance teacher when I was about 19. I opened a dance school and I was working for the local government in Newcastle. So basically I worked with kind of underprivileged kids, and the government would pay me and then the kids would get to come for free. And that was kind of pre-London Olympics. So there was lots of kind of government schemes for anything that was sport and stuff like that. So I did that for a few years, and then basically the government decided they didn't want to pay for that anymore. So I was like, well, this is the chance. If I'm going to go off and do anything, this is the time to do it. So ended up going around the world dancing as a choreographer. So I basically packed a bag and buggered off to India on my own. And just got on a train and three flights, went to India, got picked up by some random guy, which makes us laugh when I say it like that now, and went off to be in Bollywood for a while, and then went off to America to be a showgirl and went all over the place, and then eventually ended up in Egypt. So I came here, 2013. And then, so I've been here since then, met my husband, had my daughter first, and I was singing and doing choreography and stuff. And then the Russian plane crash happened, so there was absolutely no tourism, no entertainment anywhere and stuff like that. So basically I was left, I didn't know what I was going to do, and I had a friend here who, she was working online as an editor, and she was like, oh, there's loads of people that are having, you know, people who don't speak English right and stuff for them, and they just want an English person to read through it, and it's easy, no bother. So basically I started, got into it that way, and I started working as a writer because I've got fitness qualifications and stuff. So at that time it was kind of pre-medic update, so there was absolutely loads of health and fitness sites who especially even then wanted someone who was a personal trainer and stuff like this. So started writing there. Had a load of clients through Upwork and stuff, just doing it that way. And then basically got a full-time job working on a fitness site for the guys over at Authority Hacker. So started working with them for a little while. And when I was obviously doing the site for them, I was kind of getting interested in the SEO side as well, because I was seeing everything they were doing with the affiliate sites and how they were, you know, putting Authority Hacker together and things like that. And at the same time, I had a lot of old clients kind of coming to us and being like, please come back, do some work. And obviously I couldn't manage it all myself. So there was a lot of other women, especially like foreign women here, who were basically in the same position. They'd been working in hotels as kind of guest relations and all of these kind of things, or working as teachers in the schools. And they just, it had just all stopped. So I was like, there must be some other English women here who I can maybe, you know, train up and let them do the stuff for the other clients. And that's basically how it started. So then that essentially turned into an agency, started a content agency when the guys from Authority Hacker decided they'd kind of focus more on that, and the medic update happened. So all the fitness sites kind of took a downturn very quickly. So I basically used that opportunity to say, right, I'm gonna go for it and start the agency up. So started up the agency's kind of just content, but I made a very conscious decision early on that I was gonna just work on affiliate content. I didn't really want to be doing blogs or, you know, business for business sites and all this other stuff, because obviously when you're doing content for affiliate, it's very different. So, you know, I wanted to get the SOPs and everything in place for the writers to be able to train them myself and not confuse them by doing too many different kinds of things. And I didn't really want to be one of these kind of jack of all trades that doesn't do anything particularly well. I thought, you know, I'm quite strong on not spreading yourself too thin, so I wanted to kind of do that and do it right and just basically built it up. And then just over time, you know, once we'd got one service in place, like with the content, had all the SOPs there, had built the team up, everyone knew what they're doing, then start bringing in service by service, so that eventually come to where we are now, what ended up being, you know, a full service agency for affiliates that could go from A to Z, basically take a site from beginning to end. And then that's kind of what we've evolved into now, is, you know, building sites for clients, ready-made sites and stuff that they can just take and get started on the right foot.
I think it's a wise move, and it's a good journey, you know, doing this stuff. So obviously you've got a lot of different things on. How many staff do you have under you doing all of this stuff?
We've probably actually got less now than we used to have since COVID, because pre-COVID we had about 40 writers and editors on their own. But most of them were only doing, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 words a week or whatever. And then when COVID happened, we kind of had, you had one set of people that either were in a position where, you know, they had their kids at home or whatever, and they just couldn't work and they needed to step away. And then you had the other people that, you know, they had lost a lot of work, so they wanted to kind of drill down and get more. So it was just a kind of natural transition, really, to take people more kind of full time. So in the content side, we've probably half that now. We've got about 20, 25, I think. And then I've got three or four managers underneath us, all women. 80% of my staff are women. About 75% still live here. So they're all expats, obviously living anywhere in Egypt, whether it be Am and Sharm. But there's people in Dahab and, you know, Luxor and all the touristy places. And then I've got, you know, a couple of assistants on the SEO side, a graphic designer, a website designer. So, I mean, the content team's always been the core team. But then we've got, like I say, little bits and bobs that cover everything, basically. So I probably about 35 or something total now across the board.
And you see that a lot of your staff are women. Was that a conscious decision, or is that just because women are probably better at writing than guys? And I hope guys don't beat me for that, but they probably are.
It was in a sense, because I think at the time, I mean, when I kind of started, I only had my daughter at the time, but she was still very small, and I knew that there was lots of other women, especially, who were here because they'd stayed here on a similar reason to me, that they were married to someone who was Egyptian, and then they were left without, you know, they're stuck at home with probably with a new baby or a small child, and, you know, all of a sudden, through no fault of anyone's, all of these, especially in a tourist area, all of these tourist jobs are stopped, which is essentially 90% of the work that was available. So it just made sense, really, to be able to try at least and help other people who were in the same kind of situation as me, because I was going through it. So first and foremost, I wanted to see, you know, people who were local and stuff like that who could do that. And it also made sense, really, because of the jobs that are available for women. I mean, we are in Egypt, and it's one of those things where, especially in the touristy areas, most of the jobs you're talking, you're either going to be, you know, some kind of guest relation in a hotel, or you're going to be like a nursery nurse. So you're going to be working for an Egyptian salary, which is next to now, from, you know, 6 days a week holidays. So especially for someone who had little kids, it made sense to me that, you know, they can be at home, they can work around their family life and stuff like that. And I also had the sense that really that I knew that would build loyalty, because if you're offering somebody an opportunity that isn't available otherwise, you're giving them, you know, a much better salary than they're going to get here, then you're going to have a lot less staff turnover, which was kind of the goal. So, you know, nobody wants to be dealing with bringing in new people every 3 minutes. So it was kind of a conscious decision. And also the fact that, you know, SEO is notoriously kind of male orientated. So it was nice to kind of have some other women around than me, you know, stuck with blokes all the time. So, but I do have some men. I've got a couple of, my dad actually works for the company, so he's an editor. So, and I've got a couple of blokes actually all in England where they're related to somebody who already works for, who's living here, someone's brother and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we do have some blokes. I'm not keeping them all out.
I think it's a great way to look at it, and I think a great opportunity for, you know, those mothers sitting at home to earn a few decent quid whilst having the flexibility to still probably, you know, bring up their kids at home. I think it's a great opportunity, because obviously my wife, I've got a 2-year-old son, and my wife climbs the wall. She wants to work probably 2 mornings a week just to get a breather. I know it's terrible saying that, but it's true.
Believe me, I've got a 5-year-old and a 2-year-old boy and girl, uh-huh. And I know exactly what it's like. Being on lockdown with them and trying to run a business is like, that'll give you a new sense of life, that, like, I tell you.
But no, that all sounds very good, and a great opportunity for those people. But having a look at your website, which is clevertouchmarketing.com, if anyone wants to have a look at Jenny's website, obviously the services that I want to talk to you about. So as you say, you pretty much do everything that you would expect someone who deals with websites, graphic design, full site management, blah, 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 blah. But you said earlier on in the conversation that you wanted to very specifically focus on affiliate websites, obviously with your background helping the Authority Hackers guys, you know, doing that. And obviously we spoke off here about affiliate, and obviously we've been in SEMrush and everything before. And I think are we due to speak about affiliate on SEMrush as well? Or are we the affiliate one in May? Yeah. So obviously affiliate's one of your passions, and obviously working with those guys at Authority Hackers, Mark and Gail, clever guys doing great stuff, and make perfect sense to niche down into affiliate websites only. I think too many people think they can go in broadly, you know, to SEO, but I think, you know, really become a specialist in affiliate marketing content is a great thing to have, because we all complain about content writers. If you look at any SEO guys' Facebook feed or whatever, they're just like, man, there's a good content writer, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can't find anyone, no one that can work at scale, and people that are sloppy and all that stuff. And obviously you've got the SOPs and everything nailed down. So I just want to talk to you about the content services that you do offer for affiliates. Now, on your website, it's saying you obviously do your keyword research, blah, 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 blah. You use Suffer and all that kind of stuff as well. Now, you know, using Suffer is a basic thing that many people are not doing. Now, for me, I don't know why people wildly go out there and just say, right, you know, to someone like yourself, right, Jenny, I want 20 articles, they've all to be 1,000 words long, blah, 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 blah. I mean, how does it work? What is your way of working this? Do you do the research and say, this article should be 2,500 words, this one should be 800 words, blah, 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 blah? Do you take control of that to the average guy? Or how does the process work there when they're ordering?
It depends. Oh, that's a typical SEO answer, isn't it? It depends. But it does depend on, obviously, the type of service that we're doing. A lot of the clients that we tend to work with, we are doing kind of everything. I think that's the main reason why we're kind of branched out from content, was just because it made sense for our clients, you know, because the clients were like, oh, do you not do anything else? Like, I'm trying to find a link builder and blah, 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 and I'd rather just have one person to do it all. So obviously, if it's someone that, you know, we're working on all kind of aspects of their site, then yes, I would, me or the team or whatever. I mean, these days I don't really kind of deal with the clients. I just oversee everything and make sure things are being done how I would do them. But yeah, so we would kind of oversee that from the beginning, from, you know, right from the keyword research through to, because yeah, right, 100%, it absolutely drives me crackers, to be honest. Like, there's just, when you see people ordering content with no kind of, just no, not even your keyword research, but even just, you know, who says that this content should be this piece of, you know, this length, this, you know, what's, where have you getting that figure from? So we specifically, I mean, we've probably, I think we've been using Surfer longer than most of the other ones that also offer it. We've been doing it for quite a long time now, the Surfer. So because really that just made sense. I was using it for, you know, the stuff that we were doing for our website and stuff like that, because before there was Surfer, we had to do all of that ourselves. And I'm definitely one for, you know, working smarter, not harder. So anything that can save me spending time comparing the top 10 articles in the SERP to find the average keyword density and length and all of this rubbish, then, like, it just makes sense to obviously use that. So yeah, so I mean, we now, all of our staff are trained, we actually use all the different ones. So we do Surfer, InLinks, Market Muse, Phrase, all of them. So depending on, you know, whatever the client's already working with, just to make it easier for a transition, especially if they're coming to work from, had content somewhere else or whatever. But yeah, so with the process, usually it's just a case of, we've got all our own SOPs, and obviously, you know, as I said, I did work with the guys at Authority Hacker before, and a lot of people come to us from the Authority Hacker course, so they're wanting to follow, you know, their instruction essentially. So a lot of our SOPs are built around the same kind of philosophies as their course, so we have those in place. And I'm not the kind of person that's like, you know, this is my secret sauce, I'm going to keep it to myself. So our SOPs are open to all of our clients. We've got copies of all our own internal guidelines and stuff for content. And actually, when we onboard a client, we give them kind of like example guideline structures and stuff like this for all your different types of content. So like your versus reviews, your roundups, your info content and stuff like that. So then basically the clients are kind of welcome to, if they want to give us, you know, the keyword that they're wanting to go for, and that's all, and let us get on with it and do it the way we know how to do it, then we'll do that for them. If they want to be more involved and they've got specific, you know, specific guidelines they want to follow, or, you know, specific tone and things like this, they're also welcome to let us know, and we encourage that, obviously, because, you know, we want to get it right as quickly as possible for everyone. So yeah, so it tends to be a case of the writers will, they'll, you know, take the content, they'll do it, they'll run, do it with Surfer or InLinks or whatever. And then we've got a team of editors as well. So they'll edit it and check that everything's right and check it through Surfer, everything's meeting where it should be. And then if it's like our top level content, that's basically, you know, all your bells and whistles, if you like that, that then goes over to a graphic designer who takes kind of the top points from the article, and they'll create an infographic for that, and they'll put that in there. And then we'll send that over to our WordPress assistants, who then upload the content directly into the client's site as a draft. So if, you know, if they want custom product boxes and all this kind of thing, we'll do all of that stuff. And then basically the client just has to check it, say yeah or nay, and that's it, done.
Looks very interesting. I'm just looking at the packages, obviously your bronze, silver and gold, and obviously the gold in terms of being able to get that custom infographic and getting it uploaded for you is actually quite a good deal.
Yeah.
But what is sourcing of CC0 Media? What does that mean?
So basically including your free pictures, but they're not like your paid ones from, you know, like any of the kind of paid stuff, just your basic copyright free images. So all your images will be included, and then like obviously if it's a top level one, then it'll have your custom infographic in there as well. But you know, we'll make sure we include your feature image and any relevant images and stuff like that, because we felt like we had to detail it, because apparently some people don't do that. So yeah.
Listen, you've got to make these points clear. Let's just be very specific. You only do content for affiliate marketers. You do not do it. So if someone's getting an informational website, you ain't interested.
Nothing. We'll probably turn more people away than we actually take on most of the time, to be honest, because I'm a firm believer that, you know, like, I mean, I've been running businesses since I was 19, which I'm not going to say how long ago that was, because I'm going to continue the illusion that people think I'm younger than I am. But it was a long time ago. So I'm a very firm believer of, like, you know, you can't please all of the people all the time. And that's just giving everybody a headache. It still happens when you get clients, you can't help it. But, you know, for the most part, trying to make sure that before you go ahead, this is going to be a good working relationship for both ends makes sense. So, you know, I'm happy to turn someone away and say, I'm sorry, this is all we do. The only time where there's kind of a cross section is we do have some clients who have like e-commerce sites, and they've started to want to kind of make like a hybrid e-commerce affiliate site where they want to put on some more kind of affiliate content. As long as it's still considered affiliate content, then, you know, we're going to do it that way. But yeah, other than that, I mean, I made a firm decision early on really as well, just because I really didn't want to deal with headaches. I haven't try and get clients that didn't understand how important SEO was or why they needed content, you know. So I was like, at least people who are doing affiliate, they might not be able to do it themselves or have the time to do it themselves or whatever, but at least they know they need it, you know. So just made
sense. Again, it's a great point you make. You know, most of these affiliate guys that I know personally know they need it, they just can't be arsed doing it. And you know, they know what they need and they're prepared to invest in it. So I think it's a perfect angle. But for your other services, obviously you've got graphic design and all that stuff. Again, if a random person just came saying, can you design me a new business logo? I take it that is not what you do. Is it purely graphic design, infographics for affiliate marketing?
Yeah, and we do logos and stuff, but they're for when we're building sites, like we're done for you packages and stuff like that, where it includes, we'll do all the branding. So we'll do the logo, we'll do, you know, your headers for social media and all of this kind of stuff, but it's within the package and within the, you know, within the affiliate side of things. So it's basically just to have everything there for anyone who's building a site, essentially. Because, I mean, because we've kind of, you know, had this kind of long standing partnership, if you like, with Authority Hacker, because they've always recommended with our content. A lot of the people coming to her have always been people who are just starting out. And the one thing I see, which is probably something you've seen a million times as well, as an SEO, you know, whenever I do an audit and stuff like this, it tends to be that they're just the foundations just haven't been done right. If they get to a point where it's, you know, it's at a standstill and they can't figure out why, it's all, for me, it's just always that foundation has not been done right. So for quite a long time now, that's been my kind of niche down within the niche, if you like, is, you know, taking from the beginning, doing it kind of step by step in a way I know is going to work and going to build that site right from the beginning, because it drives us crackers, to be honest. Like when I, you know, just, you'll get people coming to you for an audit or whatever, and that's who we tend to deal with, where they get someone sent who's come from a course or whatever, and they're like, you are recommended, I'm just starting, blah, blah, blah. Or we have people who, they've done it themselves, maybe it's by following the course, they've started it themselves, they've gotten so far and being like, okay, nothing's happening and I don't know why. But what tends to frustrate us the most is usually you see these sites and I'll audit them, and straight away I'm just like, head in my hands, there's so much wrong with this site, but they're making money, and that's what frustrates us, because they think they're doing all right because they're making money, they've got their display ads, they're making their affiliate commissions and whatever. And it just frustrates us, because I just think, well, I know, but how much money could you be making if this was all spot on? Because there is so much wrong on this site, you know what I mean? So it's basically just trying to really help people get it right from the beginning, so that they have the option to do it themselves, or, you know, if they want to kind of move on, build their own team, their own content team or whatever, to keep their, you know, everything in-house or whatever, at least they're on the right track for that.
I think you're 100% right in what you say. Half of the people I ever speak to that come for advice, the basics are not done properly, you know, or even the platform their website's on is just not the right platform in terms of having the best SEO and stuff like that. So I think doing the basics is something that people often miss. They focus on, you know, a lot of other things, like they start looking at CRO, for example, before they've even get content on their website and stuff. They're like, yeah, I've put this, done that. And you're like, what the fuck? You know, why are you not heavily investing in content's always got to be, other than a basic, clean, well-designed website. I think, you know, the content strategy is the first thing I'd be bolting onto anyone's website. But when you get them, you're just like, mate, what is this? Like, what is this content? Who's made these keywords up? And you find out it's, you know, all stolen. There's no keyword targeting. It's all just, you know, pissing in the wind, basically, for a lot of people. And then they turn around and say affiliate marketing's a load of bollocks. It doesn't work. You can't make money, and so on. You know, I think sometimes it's a great option to be able to just go to someone who does it time and time again, to start with those foundations. And then if they do continue to invest in content, in links, in whatever else they do, they will get closer to making that money. But again, it comes down to laziness. I don't know how many times I've started an affiliate project and you're just like, oh, fuck, I can't be bothered. You know, you run out of steam. And that's where I think sometimes the way I now have to see it as a money investment rather than time investment from me. And that's where I think people that you come to the top, you know, you're just looking for someone reliable who can churn them out and do what they do every day, rather than go to a random WordPress designer who doesn't understand affiliate and doesn't understand SEO that well. Again, I think it's a nice mix to just go to someone like you who'll give you one of their packages and off you pop and scale up from there. Now, obviously, you have, if they go to the links on Clever Touch Marketing, they can see that, you know, there are ready-made affiliate websites and stuff like that available. And I want to talk to you about that. You know, I've seen some people do this very, very well, and I've seen some absolute dog shit out there when it comes to ready-made affiliate websites. So how are your ready-made websites done? Like, what are you doing that's different from the average Joe? You know, I've seen people, and they will very loosely say, you're going to get a tech related done for your affiliate website, and they give you this tech website which is talking a lot of garbage about crappy gadgets that you have no interest in, and it's got all this content, and I mean, by all accounts the website looks okay, but tell me more about your done for your affiliate websites and how what they look like.
Well, I mean, to be honest, we start doing them more because, like I was saying, like, you know, the more you're kind of working with people and you're seeing the same mistakes over and over again. The thing that I found, which goes back to kind of laying that foundation, is just most people weren't thinking about it like a business. They don't think about, most people build affiliate sites, in my mind, the opposite way to how you would build any other business site. So, like, you know, like when I was a dance teacher, for example, the first thing you're going to do is look at other dance teachers' websites in the area and be like, how can I make my site look better than theirs so people think that I'm better than them, you know what I mean? So people are looking at driving traffic before they've got any, you know, they've got one article on the homepage, and the homepage is just spammed with ads and all of this. It looks a mess and stuff like this. And it was just the same mistakes over and over again. So it came to a point where it just kind of makes sense to just say, yeah, do you want us to just do it for you? Do you know what I mean? So that's basically how it started, and it made it a lot easier for people. So now we've got kind of, we're trying to separate it a little bit. So we've got Clever Touch, that's going to be still that single services, but we've basically just launched a kind of secondary site, which is the affiliate marketing experts, which is still being launched, but obviously you can still get what we're done for you through Club at Touch anyway. But to kind of keep them, you know, if someone wants from the start to finish, that's where they're going to go and get everything they need. So we have basically two different styles. So we've got what done for you, which the clients are still very involved in. So, you know, they'll choose their domain, they'll choose their niche and all of this kind of stuff. And then we just basically take over and build everything for them. So it'll be a case of, you know, we'll do the keyword research, we'll get that back to them, and we'll let them choose their keywords with the done for yous that we do, you know, because it's their site at the end of the day. We'll do, you know, enough keyword research to keep them going for quite some time. So we'll let them decide which way they want to go, but we'll lay that keyword research out properly, in terms of like silo structure and stuff like this, on what's going to be optimal for that niche. They let we know that, and then basically the graphic designer will go ahead and they'll do all the branding and everything. The client will okay that, and then basically the keyword research will be sent off to the content team. They'll start doing the first batches of content for the website while the website designer builds it, and then so that's done at the same time. And then basically, once the website's designed, the SEO will come in, check everything, make sure, you know, everything's right from the beginning, sort everything out, do all your basic kind of checklist stuff and setting up your Google Search Console and analytics and all of this kind of stuff, get everything ready and put the first batch of content on there. Our Horo team, once it's all built and the content's on there, they'll start with doing kind of Horo outreach to start building those kind of little foundational links, and then the client's ready to go take it from there. And we'll also do kind of ready-made sites as well, which are ones that we've built in the past, and we've been building up just the same as we would with one of the done for yous, as if it was for a client, but basically we've just been keeping it in-house. And we tend to build those up so that basically they're getting a little bit of DR, they're getting a little bit of traffic, not a huge amount, just like a starter site. They're starting to get those clicks through Amazon so that literally people can buy it done and start, you know, getting those commissions from day one. Because that's what I was seeing when I was, you know, when we started thinking about this about a year ago. A lot of the ones that I could find that were doing kind of these ready-made sites, you know, to someone who's less experienced as a client, for example, would probably look great. But, you know, a quick look on Ahrefs, you're saying it's got no keywords, got no traffic, there's no DR. It's just been, you know, a template site shoved on, any random content, 10K or whatever, shoved on and then left and made it, you know, there's a great landing page with a sales pitch of how they'll start earning from tomorrow. But realistically, they're still in, you know, the Google sandbox, if you like, and they're not going to get anywhere. So with ours, we try to, you know, we nurture them in-house, and the plan is that as the affiliate marketing expert site evolves, that basically, you know, we'll have kind of this kind of every 3 months, every 6 months, whatever, have sites that were released to the clients, if you like, to be available to buy, because at the minute we're busy building them up and stuff. So that at least it does take that initial waiting period and stuff off clients, really. You know it's done right. You haven't got that frustration of waiting of like, right, well, I've put content on there. Where's the keywords? Where's the clicks? Where's this? That foundation's already laid. So then it's a case of now it's your job to nurture it, essentially. That's all been done for you.
And what type, so if someone's listening to this just now and they say, you know, I fancy getting something like this, what is the kind of average? Now, I know prices are going to wildly differ depending on niche, how much work's been done and so on, but what type of investment does someone need to make to get one of these ready-made websites if they want to dabble in affiliate marketing?
The ready-made ones, obviously, what we've tried to do is kind of basically the same as what we do with the done for you one. So like with the done for you ones, we'll have different packages depending on, you know, how much content you want initially, how many links you want initially, all that kind of thing. And when we've been building the other ones, we try to keep that in mind. So, you know, your have some maybe that only got 10k worth of content on, where you'll have some that's got 40k worth of content on, you know. So it does depend. But yeah, I mean, some of the cheapest ones, you're looking at anything like 2.5-3 grand up to about 10 grand, depending on whether it's been built on an aged domain, an expired domain, a brand new domain, whatever, you know, all of these things come into play, how much content it's got on, how many links it's got on, and stuff like that. So yeah, but I mean, regardless, significantly less than someone had probably spent doing it themselves. That's the way I've tried to do it, you know, because I see people time and time again, they're spending 20 grand, they say it's not finished, it's not getting anywhere. So, like, because they're going to different people who, there's, you know, not that every freelancer isn't doing a good job, but it's much more difficult if, you know, your content writer team has got no communication, has no idea what the SEO people are doing and stuff like this. So that's when you tend to get, you know, you're just shoveling out money again to fix stuff when it goes wrong. So it's just a case of, you know, it's an investment up front, but if you know that stick a batch of 20k words on there and you're going to take off, then, you know, that's going to save you probably more headaches and time. It's definitely worth the money.
Exactly. As you say, some people end up spending a lot more and not getting a good job done because there's that lack of you know, the same type of people with the same methods doing all of the work, which is absolutely horrendous. But over and above that, before we do wrap up, we spoke off air about you wanting to do more in your own affiliate websites and all that kind of stuff. Obviously, you've done it for other people. And obviously, you want to do affiliate marketing yourself. So what is your goal for the next few years? Obviously, you've got your agency and you're going to continue to do that stuff. But what is your aspirations? Like, do you want to move to full-time affiliate yourself, or, you know, how do you see yourself going forward in, like, say, 3 or 4 years' time?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think lots of people always ask us because, you know, anyone, especially anyone who's worked with as clients and stuff, would know that, you know, a lot of the clients we work with, we're building their sites up the kind of six-figure level and stuff. So I do get asked all the time, you know, why are you doing client work? So, but for me, there's something about the, I don't know, like I said to you before, I don't know if it's the teacher inside of us or what, there's some kind of, you know, more kind of satisfaction doing it that way, sitting with someone and, you know, giving them that kind of step-by-step, here's what we're going to do, this is what's going to work, and that kind of excitement that you're getting from the other person as well, because, you know, they've maybe felt stuck or they don't know what they're doing, and you're giving them that little bit of confidence that, like, right now I know, now I've got that get up and go to really get it done. And there's something about that I really like, which is why I'm trying to free up more time to do more consultancy work, because at the minute I've just got no time, so I don't get much of it done. But that's kind of, yeah, so we've got obviously Clever Touch, which is kind of our single service, but we're trying to move away from there a little bit in terms of, you know, we've got our team there, so that's why we're trying to evolve that more and using the team and building these ready-made sites and the done-for-you sites, so that, like, basically we're just helping people get off on the right foot, essentially, to start. So obviously the Affiliate Marketing Experts is the initial site's up, but we're going to make that a kind of members-only site, so that it's, you know, not just anybody can come in and pick anything up. So that's going to be launched in the next couple of weeks, and then from there we're looking at building that out with a load of free courses and resources and stuff for the members, so that, you know, you're getting a kind of all-around support system as well to take people further forward. And then, like I say, hopefully that'll mean that I can free up more time and focus more on doing the consultancy with people, because that's, you know, that's where I like to spend my time, helping people and sitting having a chat like this, and like I say, like giving someone a plan, or even sometimes just, you know, thinking of things that they hadn't even thought of, like, obviously because I've come from a fitness background, things like other ways to monetize that aren't Amazon, how knowing the ways that you can do your fitness programs and just having those connections and stuff like that. And then, like I say, probably start building some of these six-figure sites for myself would probably be the best idea. So, yeah, but I don't think I'll ever really step away from kind of clients altogether, because it's just this, like I say, there's something that I like about, especially people who are just starting, you know, like I think it's, at this time, certainly we're like with the last year that we've had, and there's a lot of opportunity now for people, you know, people are already thinking, what can I be doing online to earn money? Because, you know, the way things have been, people's jobs have just been lost and they've got no form of income. So I would like to be someone that helps people get off the ground and do that, really, just to, yeah, to give people a hand, really, to be honest. It's the kind of person I am. So I don't think that'll ever go away. I don't think I get enough satisfaction from doing it just for myself to keep us that motivated. So although I do like a bit of a random niche, so that sometimes keeps us motivated. Like when you get these niches like pet cemeteries and stuff like this that you've never heard of. So yeah.
Well, here is a good question. What is the most random niche you have either helped someone work on or had a look at yourself? I actually asked Holly Starks this, and I always forget. Oh, no, I know what it was. And it was the hemorrhoids niche. Yeah. I love asking this question because people do some bizarre, bizarre stuff. Mine was tantric massage. I had no idea what that was, but, yeah, I had a woman in London years and years ago who was like, yeah, I do tantric massage. Now in my head, I was young, naive, I'm just thinking like she does back massages and stuff, and I'm like, yeah, we can do that. And then when I googled it, I was like, whoa. So that was probably the worst, either that or anal bleaching cream was another for me. But what is yours in terms of the weirdest and most bizarre that you went, oh.
We've had a couple. There's been a couple that are weird that I would have never thought of, but actually, when you looked into them, they were actually, it was like, now that was a good idea. Do you know what I mean? And the two that spring to mind for them ones, one was serial killers, which I was like, didn't know serial killers were a niche, but like, you know, like selling all this merchandise, like T-shirts on Amazon, like the husband did it and all of this stuff for these, you know, these people who love their Netflix documentaries. And the other one was for pet funerals, which I'd also never thought of. So this is, you know, people who love their dogs and cats turning them into bracelets and all of this kind of stuff. And the profit margins on that is super high end as well, because they're turning their dog's ashes into diamond rings and all this kind of stuff. Jeez. But weird-wise was interchangeable sex dolls, where they could be male or female and came with accessories of all kinds for all kinds of people. Let's just put it that way. That was interesting to read anyway. So yeah, ones that were just torsos, or just, you know, missing a torso and interchangeable and stuff like that. Didn't know that was a thing either, but there you go. Just shows you you can make money in any area. But I mean, especially with the funerals, the pet funerals, I suppose that's the ultimate definition of an evergreen niche. That's never going to go out of fashion, is it? So,
So I've got one other little thing to ask of you. And since you brought it up first, I'm just going to make a confession. So many years ago, I was watching serial killer documentaries and stuff like that. And I'd just done some research on Sam Rush. And you know who Fred West is, right? If you put in to Sam Rush, the search for Fred West and Rose West is insane. It's literally like 30 or 40,000. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I actually own fredwest.co.uk. I put up a joke website. It's still there to this day. Well, not a joke website. It's got like his face and all that on it. And I was always just curious how you would monetize such a thing. I've never monetized it. It's more for a story to tell people, just for a bit of fun. Well, actually funny.
Honestly,
but...
it was one of those things where I was like that as well, like when it came through, being serial killers, and I was thinking, surely there's not. Like, how do you monetize this? Are you just gonna, what, you're gonna do a deal with Netflix for referring them to Netflix subscriptions or what? But the amount of merchandise on Amazon is unreal. Like, wine glasses with slogans on about watching serial killers and drinking wine. And, like, obviously for these women that, you know, the ones that send love letters to the serial killers in prison and stuff like this. Honestly, it's loads of T-shirts and all sorts. So I was something I'd never considered. I mean, I like a serial killer documentary, like, but I'd never thought about making it as an affiliate niche site.
I seen something really funny, actually, and it was on Facebook one day, and someone put up something along the lines of, my mum bought me a Westlife T-shirt, so it said, like, Westlife across there, and it was a picture of Fred and Rose West. It was quite funny, but I'll tell you another story quickly. I was in Durham, which is not far from your area, so I was seeing this person in Durham, a client, by the way, so I was in seeing this client in Durham, and I stayed in this nice hotel, which overlooked the County Durham prison. It was up like the side street, and I'm just sitting in there bored, like my wife was at home and all that, so I'm just sitting there bored, and I'm just like, who is in the County Durham prison?
All the dodgy people.
Rose West in there. But also on that serial killer thing, I also own TedBundy.co.uk, and I also own PeterSutcliffe.co.uk. Don't ask me, I've never put websites up on those, but I'm hanging on to them because I think there's somehow got to be a way of monetizing these.
Well, yeah, I mean, well, that's it. I think because especially now, well, I don't know what it is about lockdown, whether people were just so fed up with being with their partners that they were considering murdering them, so they all started watching serial killer documentaries or what. But like Netflix started churned out the full series about Ted Bundy and all of this, and so like it's probably a good time to get in on it, to be honest, like, but obviously there's all the books, they've all released books from prison and all of this stuff on Amazon, so people are getting their commissions on their killing diaries and all of this kind of stuff, so selling Amazon Fire Sticks so people can watch the documentaries. There you go.
I'd love to do a talk one day in affiliate marketing and just show something like the Fred West website and just say, you know, if you can make money with this, you can literally make money with anything. So if you ever do see an order dropping in Fred West type stuff.
For some Fred West content. That'll be a lovely infographic. I'll get the graphic designer to knock you one up just to, as a sample.
A laugh, yeah. But I think, you know, with the search volume, as I say, was massively, massively appealing and it was just for a bit of fun because I was talking with friends about it, and I knew one of my friends was going to dive in and grab the domains, but I beat him to it. So yeah, I'm going to do something.
Well, I mean, that's the thing that I talk about quite a lot when it comes to keyword research. And I mean, when I did the Mastery Summit just a couple of weeks ago, and it was about content and keyword research, and one of the things I always say to people is looking for, you know, what I would consider outside of the box keywords. Because there's so many keywords that, you know, you don't necessarily think of straight away, but have huge, huge search volumes. And because people aren't thinking of them, they've got such low keyword difficulties, it's so easy to steal that traffic. I mean, like, when I was doing the summit, the example I used was doing, like, fitness sites, and you get all these fitness influencers who, you know, the only thing that's on Google for them is their Instagram and stuff like this. But so the keyword difficulty for, you know, their name is something like 3, and then they've got like 83,000 searches a month. So I'm like, so, you know, shove an athlete's bio up telling them all about it with an example nutrition plan or something like this. Find some way to utilize that keyword and you'll be laughing. Essentially sticking a call to action to your own nutrition plans, whatever, and just you find a way to utilize that traffic, steal it. That's the best way to do it.
There's nothing wrong with doing a bit of stealing if someone else is too naive to make sure that they rank for their own brand name, then they
well, I mean, to be honest, that's because the affiliate's getting so saturated, that's really the way people have got to start thinking about finding these kind of keywords and going with that niche, possibly because of that, because there's that option to do that rather than, you know, being a small fish in a big pond of a well-known niche. It's something that's a little bit random, probably a little bit more interesting and keep you motivated now.
As you say, you've got to just think outside the box in this day and age, and try and figure out angles that you can go in at to get some of that traffic. And there's plenty of angles out there. Some are not morally right, some are fine, some are whatever. But yeah, you've got to be prepared to do what you need to do to make money online, which I think a lot of people don't like to do, especially affiliates. They're just like, oh, I don't want to get into trouble for this. But you've got to have a certain type of mentality where you're just driven and say, fuck it, I've got food to put on the table, and I don't give a shit. And not condoning that you go and steal someone's stuff.
I'm very much of that mentality as well. I mean, I know you get a lot of stick for like doing black hats up and stuff like that, but the thing that makes me laugh really is when I say this to clients all the time, when they come to us and they'll say about doing white hat link building on a website that's got zero traffic. And I'm just like, you do realize that Google doesn't consider anything white hat. Just because some SEO at some point has coined that white hat doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. So it's more of just a case of what you're comfortable with doing to make your site ahead of all, which at the end of the day, everything you're doing is to beat your competition. I don't care what anyone says, like, you know, personally, I don't work with PBNs or anything like this, but, you know, at the end of the day, even if you're just trying to outrank somebody else, regardless of what method you're using, that's what you're trying to do. So to be like, oh, if I use a PBN just to get ahead, like, well, you're trying to just get ahead regardless of what you're doing, really, essentially. Even if you're just buying guest posts, you're incentivizing links to get ahead. Whatever helps you sleep at night is fine, but, like, you know, to be realistic about it. So it's more, to me, it's, I don't really think there's, other than, like, say, you know, hacking somebody's website or doing something completely really dodgy, but in terms of the white hat, grey hat, all of this kind of thing, I think it's more just, you know, what you're comfortable with, what you want to do, what you're comfortable with doing, what works for you and your site and your niche. And that's something that really you have to think about when you get started, that, you know, that's another part of laying that foundation. You should be considering these things before you start, not getting halfway through and realizing that, you know, the only way you're going to beat a competitor is to do something you're not comfortable with or whatever. So,
yeah, that's it. You've got to do what's comfortable for you, but you've got to push the boundaries. But on that note, Jenny, we will wrap up. But if people do want to get in touch with you, whether it be for consultancy, whether it be for content or whatever, how are they best getting a hold of you?
Yeah, well, Clever Touch Marketing is one main kind of single service website. So, you know, your content, all that kind of stuff. We've just set up the affiliatemarketingexperts.com, which is, that's going to be where we're going to move all the kind of full package services over to there, just to keep the single services and the full packages together. And SEO with Jenny, you can book some consultancy. I went with that because I thought nobody is ever going to be able to spell jennyabobaya.com, so SEO with jenny.com seemed like the logical choice. So yeah, so any of those, you can catch us over there or LinkedIn or whatever. So yeah.
I've got one last question. What was your maiden name?
Gallagher.
So why did you not just go with that?
Because actually my full name, I kept my maiden name in the middle. So my full name, which here legally, if you have to sign any legal document, you have to write your full name, and writing Jenny Gallagher Abuobaya 27 times is possibly the worst decision I could have made. But I decided to keep my dad's name because he's the last bloke. But basically because I used to be a dance teacher and a dancer, like, anyone Googling Jenny Gallagher would have found, you know, show reels and audition tapes and stuff like this. And I wanted it to be very separate from the dance side. I wanted people to, you know, that's not what I do anymore. So it made sense to kind of go with my married name. But like I say, we're just going to aim for enough hashtag SEO fame to drop the last name like Cheryl and just be just Jenny in SEO. Yeah. Just Jenny. Listen, and people know who I'm talking about.
Jenny. Yeah, you should do that. But yeah, if you can get anywhere close to building a brand like Cheryl Cole has, then you'll be doing all right. Yeah, exactly. You'll be able to own half of Egypt at that point. So that's certainly no bad thing. One other thing, where is your tan? Based in Egypt, what's happened to the tan? Like, you look white.
I am. I'm really white considering how I used to be when I was a dancer. I was like very dark. No, but, well, I just, you know, when you live in the sun, kind of sunburn is not really as appealing. And I would like to not look 65 at 45, which if I spent all day in the sun, because it's, you know, it gets up to 50 degrees here, that's exactly what I would look like. So I decided, like, it's probably better to not sun worship when you live on somewhere that's hot enough as like the surface of the sun. So and plus I'm on a computer all day, so that's
not a lot of time.
Go out at night, I like a vampire.
I just love this, and I'm just massively jealous.
Telling you, man, the prices of it, it's, you need to get yourself, you'll be living like a billionaire over here for the price of a one-bedroom flat in Glasgow.
I had no idea things were so cheap over there, and obviously I seen your, I think it was your Facebook post last night, of something for $85,000 out there. So yeah, I always just assumed Egypt was a massively expensive place. No idea why I thought that, but one day I'll get there. I've never been to anywhere over that side of the world. I actually have family that stay in South Africa though, Cape Town. So but never been to see them. They've always came here. But
we get loads of old retired Brits come here for the winter sun, because they can pick themselves up a nice little one bedroom flat for $20,000 or something, and then, you know, they can come stay 6 months of the year when it's freezing cold in England. So I mean where we are is more expensive than, you know, some of the, because it's a tourist area, but nah, I mean, yeah, you're laughing really. If you are even earning an English wage, you've got a decent wage for here, because I mean the standard living wage in Egypt is about $300 a month. So that's for doing something like working 8 a.m. or 5 p.m. with 3-year-olds 6 days a week. For £300 a month, it's crackers. But I mean, if you want to invest in, you know, property and stuff like that, somewhere where you can get yourself a suntan, it's definitely, it only rains twice a year, so you can't complain about the weather. That's for sure.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely get my backside over there. But guys, if you want to check out Jenny, check out the websites Clever Touch Marketing, the Affiliate Marketing Experts.com, and SEOwithJenny.com.
That's
all .coms. Yeah, they're all
.coms.
But thank you very much for taking the time to come on and share some of your tips with us. It has been
no
a pleasure.
No problem. Lovely to talk to you, as always.
No worries.